In the 1950s, Oshkosh residents carried on with life, much as they had, for decades. At Morgan Doors, woodworkers still crafted doors made of solid wood. The Payne Lumber Company continued to produce doors by the thousands, most of them built using a hollow core framework covered with a veneer of hardwood for added beauty. Workers at Dunphy Boat still built wooden boats with the addition of modern materials and methods. While many things remain the same, the city of Oshkosh was about to undergo massive changes. In 10 years, enrollment at the State Teachers College would grow from 700 students to over 3,000.
From Madison, here is the governor of the state of Wisconsin, the Honorable John W. Reynolds.
How do you do?
In 1963, Governor John Reynolds described a state college system about to be further swamped by the coming baby boom generation.
Every year, we will have 6,000 more students in our state colleges and universities. 6,000 more, I want to repeat that, than we had the previous year. At the Wisconsin State College at Oshkosh, we have an example of one of our institutions of higher learning, where we are preparing for a great surge of students that will double enrollments in 10 years. At the State College at Oshkosh, however, the enrollment will double in 5 years.
The school's explosive growth, never imagined by the college founders, would create headaches for the city and take down much of the historic neighborhood around it. But in the process, UW-Oshkosh would add nearly 13,000 students, develop many new fields of study, and create a new and powerful engine of growth for the city. In the 1950s, Main Street continued to serve as the vital business and retail center of town, drawing shoppers the way it always had. But the downtown began to lose its luster with the construction of a freeway on the edge of the city, which started to draw new business development. At the same time, the Fox River waterfront, still lined with historic industries, began showing signs of decay. The blight spread to adjoining properties on Main Street, many of them built after the last of Oshkosh's great fires. In 1966, the Miles Kimball Company launched an ambitious urban renewal project called Park Plaza. It bought up 16 acres of land from riverfront industries and businesses. The company convinced three railroads to tear up tracks that snaked around town, blocking traffic. It cleared the riverfront and broke ground on a state-of-the-art indoor shopping area with rooftop parking that would breathe new life into the old downtown. Later, entire blocks of buildings were taken down, making way for a waterfront convention center and hotel. These projects revitalized the downtown area and provided a new vision for the future of the waterfront. Despite the best efforts to keep shoppers downtown, the draw of the freeway proved to be irresistible. Many businesses left the city center and set up shop along the frontage roads. And like most manufacturing centers in Wisconsin, Oshkosh's economy changed rapidly when it began losing many of its historic industries. The old Sawdust City companies, the sash and door plants, the match factory, the furniture makers, began to disappear from the riverbanks. And as they fell, the city mourned not only the loss of jobs, but the end of a way of life for generations of workers. The seed for a new industry was planted by Steve Whitman, a nationally known air racer, airplane builder, and manager of the local airport.
He's a natural-born aeronautical engineer. He designs a racing airplane, And in the 1930s into the 1940s, he builds a reputation as one of the most prominent air racers in the country.
When Paul Poberesny, president of the Experimental Aircraft Association, was looking for a new site for the EAA's annual air show, Steve Whitman gave him a call.
So Steve contacted him and said that here in Oshkosh, we have two long runways that don't cross, so you can bring in twice as many airplanes at one time. So Paul came up, liked what he saw, and in 6 months, Paul and the volunteers from EAA created their first convention site here in Oshkosh for 1970.
Community leaders convinced the EAA to move its headquarters and museum to Oshkosh and give the air show a permanent home.
And it was, of course, a tremendous boost to the Oshkosh economy.
I like to call it aviation's family reunion, because if it has flown, is flying, or will fly, it'll come to this event at some point. Attendance is more than 500,000. We have more than 10,000 airplanes that come to the region for the event. 5,000 can fit on this airport at any given time. People come here just to see the breadth, the freedom, the depth of the aviation world in the United States and here in Oshkosh. It's said that you can go anywhere in the world and tell a pilot that you're from Oshkosh and they'll know exactly what you're talking about because of all of this that is now here. So Oshkosh has developed the kind of publicity that you can't buy, because people have a positive image of it instantly with something that they have experienced within the community.
The experience gained from hosting the air show opened the way for developing many other Oshkosh events.
Events have become part of what Oshkosh culture is. We welcome people from all over. We want them to enjoy what we have here.
My first Waterfest was in 1999. I was in a rock band called Cowboy Mouth at the time. I believe they still play the fest. And it was on the back of a flatbed outside of a convention center. And within 5 years, they had gotten an endowment from a local philanthropist to build this beautiful amphitheater.
We think that Waterfest introduces the community and its possibilities to people and gives them a reason to return, not just to Waterfest, but to the community, not just on Waterfest nights, but throughout the year.
Repeat visitors now have many choices, like touring the Oshkosh Public Museum, designed by William Waters. They can walk the botanical gardens of the Payne Art Center and view its fine art collections. Or stop in for a burger at one of the city's vintage drive-ins. Oshkosh continues to make the most of its location on Lake Winnebago and the Fox River, and continues to rely on its distinctive name as a brand.
It still stands out as a distinctive place. And that goes all the way back to this funny meeting there on the banks of the Fox, where Native American people and people of French heritage and American heritage came together and decided we're going to name this place after our chief, Oshkosh.